we're all talking about me going to Rangers, Liverpool, that kind of game. So they asked me, oh, is it true? It was true because John Gregg was the manager at the time at Rangers, and we went and we drew with him at Ibrox 0-0. And then Liverpool were watching me, and then I done my knee, my cartilage. So I think, and then they went and got Bruce Grobler. I think it better be me and Bruce Grobler, let's be honest.
Another episode of the CSI Football Podcast, where we embark on a forensic delve into a particular season of football, usually with a tartan tint. I'm your host, Dean Stephen, and for today's episode, we meet a man famous for his swinging, and we don't mean Tommy Sheridan. He's forever a diamond, but he's anything but precious. It's John Martin. John, how are you doing, sir? It's great to see you.
I'm doing great, and you? It's nice to get asked to do this.
So, John, tell us, where were you born and brought up?
I was born in Preston Pans.
Always kind of...
I've always been a banner.
And who was your boyhood team when you were growing up?
My boyhood team growing up was obviously Rangers at the time, and it still is.
Oh, it's now Airdrie.
Well, it's now Airdrie, obviously.
So, were you always a goalkeeper when you were growing up playing football, or were you...
Not really, when I played the primary schools... We actually played everywhere, and then it was just suddenly going the goals. As I kept them out, so I got kept getting in the goals. So that's where it started.
I used to play in goals when I was younger, and I hated it. I hated it. I used to have panic attacks when teams would come in my half. Were you the same, or did you enjoy?
I enjoyed it. It's just like enjoying everything else, like the fans shouting at you, the team coming in at you. I don't know if it's because I wasn't feared or anything like that.
Well, Preston Pans is a long way from Lanarkshire, so how did you come to the attention of Airdrie?
The actual thing was that is I actually went down to Rotherham. I was down there for about a week or so because they were interested, but it wasn't a good time because the wife was pregnant at the time, and so it wasn't a really good time. So I come back up, because I was playing with Trinan Juniors at the time. And then a week after that, I think it was Airdrie, a couple of teams, Arbroath as well. So I went through, they played a game or so, and asked me to sign. So I just went and signed.
Well, just to make it very clear, it was your fault she was pregnant. It wasn't her fault.
I didn't know what happened, to be honest with you. Something like that, aye.
So Bobby Watson was the man in charge of Airdrie at the time. Was it him that gave you your debut?
Absolutely. And to be fair, I thought to myself, I'm going to sign here and I'm going to have to wait on my debut, because Ernie McGarr was the goalkeeper at the time. And obviously he was a good goalie and blah, blah, blah. So what had happened, I think there was two games gone. He hauled me into the office and he said, you're playing on Saturday. And that was against St. Mirren at Love Street. And since then, that's been it. And it was great for him to give me my chance at an early stage.
I think you maybe get selected just because of Ernie McGarr.
It could well be, aye, but if you're talking about Ernie McGarr, you're talking about, well, he was ex-Scotland as well. I think he had a couple of cards, didn't he? Or something like that.
Stick out from that squad when you're making your debut, John McVay, Sandy Clark and Bobby Russell. Sandy Clark's somebody that featured prominently in Airdrie history. What do you remember about?
Well, I actually got asked it when I was through in the... hospitality, and they asked me this same question about who was your best player you played with and that, and there's a lot, but Sandy Clark came up trumps there because he looked after me a wee bit until I got into it, and I think he's now with Albion Rovers now, something like that, so he was really great with me, and then I think he went to West Ham after that. Was it West Ham he went to? There you go then, he wasn't a bad player, and he actually played for Hearts as well, didn't he?
Did, yeah,
we've got a Hearts supporter who's really, really, and he's at my right hand side. By the way, I'm delighted we gave him a gubbin.
Well, it didn't. Yes. You had a pretty interesting character that came in to be manager in '84 for Airdrie. Oud turned up with all his pomp and ceremony and eccentricities. What was it like under Ali McLeod?
Ali was just we were playing St. Johnston, I think, and we were playing up there, and we were, I think it was 0-0 or something like that. It must have been about 80 minutes on the clock, and he's shouting at me. I'm saying, what the fuck are you talking about? Get up for the corner. I mean, it's 0-0. I got a header in, and it got cleared up to the line. And I think we drew 0-0 that game, but that's what it was like.
Did you enjoy having him around? Was he a fun manager?
I think he was good. Aye, he liked a wee laugh in that. Aye, he was good. Aye.
Well, he didn't last long, and then another manager came in with an incredibly high profile, former Leeds United, Manchester United, Gordon McQueen came in as gaffer.
Gordon McQueen was another one who was obviously played with Scotland and that, and played with Leeds United. And I think it started with him when old time. It started with him and Jimmy Bone, when Jimmy Bone took over, because he come round asking us, would you pack in your job to go full time? Then the other question is, well, how much are you going to give me? And it ended up, he left, and Jimmy Bone come in, and I think that's when Airdrie went full time. I think that was probably 85, 86, something like that.
Well, with Jimmy Bone coming in, the club finished second 1990, but didn't go up. It was St Johnston that won the league that season, although Ken Eadie was the top scorer for Airdrie. But the following season, 91, you finished second, this time to Falkirk, but you went up because the rules of the leagues changed. Okay. But as soon as you went up, Jimmy Bone disappeared to Zambia. So what happened?
You're hearing all that sort of stories that he was due cash to this and due cash to this.
Okay. And then Alex McDonald came in, and that's when the kind of glory times really started for...
Well, I must admit, it did. I will admit, I think his management wasn't that good. Man-to-man management wasn't that good. We were playing a friendly against Wimbledon. So he spoke to me, which is fine, and he says, you'll get this second half. I went, no, that's fine. I can't remember the goalkeeper at the time that they brought in. And I was still waiting on it. He didn't even play me at all. So I'm saying to myself, well, is it time for it to go or what? But anyway, 2 or 3 weeks into it, the boy that was in goals made an ass of it. And apparently what I heard was he was in his hotel and he wrecked the room, apparently, and then went away. So I come in, and that was me sensing. But the only thing that I didn't like is he didn't come and let me know that. He told John McVay, tell me no. I think it's...
Was he quite strict as a manager? Was he a disciplinarian?
He could take a laugh in that. He was fine. Because he was a sailor player as well, Rangers and Hearts and that kind of... But as you say, the glory days was there. I mean, you're looking at two cup, Scottish Cup finals, European Cup, Winners' Cup at the time, it was called, and we done well in the leagues as well.
Did he bring his own people in? Because like Sandy Stewart, Walter Kidd came along.
He brought in Jimmy Sanderson, Watty Kidd, Kenny Black, and you could go. But in saying that, when he did bring them in, we did look at a better team. So it was. But again, he was going to bring in these players.
Were they maybe a bit harder, maybe a bit stronger mentally than what had...
I think the guys that he brought in is because I think they were experienced as well. I mean, as you know, what he could, he'll just go through the back of you.
What's the worst ever experience you've seen of Walter Kidd going through the back of somebody?
Actually, it was at Broomfield against Dundee United, I think it was, and... I can't remember Dundee United player, but he actually got him right at the dugout. He actually just turned the legs away from him, and you can't what happens then, eh? He got sent off.
Was he more prone to getting sent off, do you think, or was it Kenny Black? Because Kenny had quite a few...
Yeah, Kenny Black and him at the same time, but I think Blackie was a wee bit more steadier than Watty, because I think Watty was sent off a few times with Hearts, wasn't he? So I think Kenny had to calm it a wee bit, because I don't think you would have got away with it.
The league form in the 91-92 season, it wasn't bad. You finished safely mid-table, but the cup form was sensational. The League Cup, you beat Dumbarton, you beat Aberdeen, he beat Celtic and penalty, and it was eventually Dunfermline that put you out on penalties at Tynecastle. But the cup form continued into the Scottish Cup in January. Stranraer with Smith and Boyle scoring, Huntley with Smith getting a hat trick. What do you remember about Andy Smith?
Andy was just one of these players you could hit because he was a big boy. I like that because you can just hit and he would bring other players into the game and that. You're talking about the Dunfermline and Airdrie game at Tynecastle.
Mm-hmm.
And as you can, we got absolutely robbed out of that. When Jimmy Sandin was supposed to have handled the ball inside the box. Absolutely. How the referee can see that is beyond me. But after that, after about like 2-3 months, he actually apologised. Now, let's get real here. That cost me £1,000, you know. Washing machine was out the door. So myself, Jimmy Sanderson, Evan Balfour, big Evan and that. So we all went out that night. We were just gutted. So we were in this pump, kind of club thing, and the music was going hell for, and we were jumping up and down. The bouncer comes in and says, "Could you keep the noise down, please?" I'm gonna fucking laugh for what? Keep the noise down. But these are the kind of things that that could have been another cup final. I think it was Hibs. Hibs that won it. It went through it.
Yep.
Dunfermline. Aye, Hibs and Dunfermline. Aye, Hibs beat Dunfermline. Aye. So these are kind of things that I didn't really like, but kind of change it.
Well, you'd Hibs in the quarter final. You saw them off goals and Coyle and Conn, and then it was Hearts at Hampden. 0-0 replay. Kenny Black, extra time and penalties, and that was Airdrie through at the cup final. So why were Airdrie so good at this particular time at getting through cup ties?
Well, we thought at the particular time when the quarters come up against Hibs Easter Road, and Tommy McIntyre, who eventually come in play for Airdrie as well, I saved a penalty for him, and as you say, his own, and we barely got the goals, and that sent us through the quarters, the semi-finals, got Hearts in the right gear, and we beat them as well. I just think it teams, especially Hearts, because they didn't know what to play us. If you had four teams, Airdrie, Hibs, Hearts, or maybe one, like to play us.
What was it Airdrie did tactically that upset the other teams?
In about them, and I think they thought they were just going to spread the ball about all the time. And then you were talking about Kenny Black and that. They were just going in. And
the final was obviously a huge deal for you, for the club, for the town. How can you describe what it was like for Airdrie to be in the cup final?
I didn't think, even myself, I didn't think we would actually ever get there, you know what I mean? I mean, I'm not being disrespectful. We never ever thought, and then it wasn't until we got by the quarters we actually thought about it. And today, 92 and 95 is a hell of a big thing for us. And you're going to Europe against Sparta Prague, all right, we got beat on thing, but it'll always stick with you, you know what I mean?
It was, when you look at the Rangers team, it doesn't seem fair in paper. The players like Gary Stevens, Goff, Stuart McCall, Alexei Mikhailichenko, which is a fantastic scorer in Scrabble, McCoyston Hatley. Was there any sort of trepidation or awe with Airdrie when seeing who you're up against, or was it just a case of they wear a shirt the same as us, let's get in about it?
We never ever says, "Oh, it's Rangers were playing, that's it." No, that's no our way. It didn't matter if it was Rangers or whoever it was, to be fair to you. But obviously, we were the underdogs. But I think when you look back at it, is we look back and say, well, listen, we didn't think of ourselves because we only got to beat 2-1. Big Andy scored a beauty of a goal. And it was the same when we played Celtic in 95 is the same there. We've only got beat 1-0 as well. So it wasn't as if they gave us a humping.
We know what happens when a team wins the cup. We go off somewhere, celebrations. What happens when a team loses the cup?
I was gutted. To be fair, never in my life did I think I would ever play in a Scottish Cup final. And I think it was 1970 odds that I had to watch Rangers and Celtic play at Hampden, just to watch them. And I think Rangers won 3-2 that time, Big Tom Forsyth scored the goal. And I'm saying to myself, oh, I would love to play in a cup final. And by the way, there's a lot of players or goalkeepers better than me has not even done that, if you look at it the other way.
What happened to the medal you were given?
I put it up for auction for Sammy Cohen for to get. I think, and that went for, how much did it go for, Angie?
Oh, 500, 600.
So that went for that, and that went towards Sammy Cohen, who obviously passed away.
And the second you went for the cancer, fucking Alison.
So that's what I did.
Well, by being in the cup final, you qualified for Europe the following season, Cup Winners' Cup, and it was Sparta Prague you were drawn against. One of the names from that Sparta Prague squad is a guy called Pavel Nedved. Was he on the pitch?
Yeah. I think he came on his sub. But they at that particular time, they had about three or four international players. I mean, we were just Aildrin, you know, and we really gave them a game, and they knew they were in a game. And even over there, we got a penalty, and Jimmy Boyle, he missed it, and it's no like him. So that could have changed the whole thing. And Aildrin fans in that were terrific. We arrived back at the airport, and they were all there cheering us on, and everything was brilliant.
What was it like going over to Prague to play?
To be fair, on the park, they had the big nettings, the big wire nettings around it, and they were throwing the old, what do you call them? Flares and everything, and it was boom, boom, that's all you heard, and it was pretty frightening, to be honest. But I think we gave them a good game. As I say, it wasn't as if we got pumped, and I thought we'd done really, really, really well.
The rumour was that the netting was put up to protect the fans from you, but I think that's scurrilous.
And that as well. And that as well.
Did you get to keep any momentums from that game? Swap shirts or?
I think I kept my own shirt, I think. I think I auctioned it. I think I auctioned it. It's that long ago, wasn't it? But there is a few players that's probably kept it. Still got it. Maybe worth a few bob. You never know. But these are the kind of things that you do keep. As I say, you could have went to Medved and said, could you swap your shirt or anything like that? And I suppose you would have done it.
Well, the kind of celebrations of the high times turned into a bit of a hangover because you were relegated 92-93. The club stuck with McDonald. Usually when a club gets relegated, the first thing that happens is the manager gets fired. Why were Airdrie so steadfast in staying with him?
I think what he actually had done for the club, you know, for that amount of years it had, you know. I mean, he would probably ask him, he would probably tell you, well, two cup finals, blah, blah, blah. And I think that's why they kept him. And then that's when I left, and then he left after it. And then I think they went back to part-time or something like that. And then they went back full-time, then they went back part-time. I don't know what they are now.
Which is a shame because it was a very unique ground. What's your memories of Broomfield? And can you give us a tour around it? Because there's all various different buildings from different times.
We didn't like the park at all, swapping parks. We wanted to keep old Broomfield. We went down there and it's the AstroTurf. Didn't like playing on that as well, and you've got a lot of things in there. You've got obviously your hospitality bit, and you've got certain rooms, and then you've got all these pictures. There's a couple of pictures of me, right? You get what I mean?
Well, let's ask this question. It has to be asked. Was there ever a picture taken of you where you didn't have a photographer trying to get you to wear a silly hat?
Of course there was. They wanted it everywhere.
Well, Airdrie were rewarded by keeping McDonald because 94-95, you decided to go on cup runs again. the League Cup again, you got to the semi-finals, you dispatched Morton, Motherwell, Hibs, and then you got to Raith Rovers, and you lost in penalties to Raith Rovers. I think that was the season Raith Rovers beat Celtic.
Dundee, I think it was.
One of the scorers, Alan Lawrence, known as Nipper. What are your memories of Nipper?
Well, the first of all, he missed a penalty, didn't he? We never, again, we Alan Lawrence, when he was at Meadow Bank, because I think that's where he come from. I think he went with Bank Dundee. He played with Hearts Whistler. And then he went to us, and he's a good player. I liked Alan Lawrence.
Well, in the Scottish Cup, he again went on a run, defeated Stirling. Andy Smith scored two. I think Andy was maybe unlucky not to get a move to one of the maybe a higher paying or higher profile team somewhere.
I was a bit surprised myself, but I think at that particular time, did he not leave here? I think he did, didn't he? And I'll go back to the first time I went to Airdrie, because they were all talking about me going to Rangers, Liverpool, that kind of game. So they asked me, oh, is it true? It was true, because John Gregg was the manager at the time at Rangers. And we drew with them at Ibrox 0-0. And then Liverpool were watching me. And then I done my knee, my cartilage. So I think, and then they went and got Bruce Grobler. I think it better be me and Bruce Grobler, let's be honest.
You've got to wonder what the scouts were thinking when they're saying, right, do we go for a goalkeeper that's reliable, or do we go for the most eccentric characters possible?
For fucking both.
Well, it's something that's always been kind of proffered, saying that there's something not quite right with goalkeepers. You have to have something a bit wrong with you to go in goals.
Well, they've not got a brain.
Well, that's not true.
That's what they give you, and I think it's only because you go and dive at folks' feet and you didn't bother, and folks say to you, oh, but you'll get smashed in the face and that. I says, but listen, smashed in the head. I says, but I've not got a brain, so it doesn't matter.
Do you think goalkeepers sometimes get a bit bored? Because, like, if the play's down the other end, you're not doing anything for 10, 15 minutes and you have to make your own entertainment.
I maybe just have a pee at the post or something like that. Yeah, I mean, have a wee piss at the post or something like that, just to pass it.
I think a keeper did that and he gets sent off, did he not?
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, you get the better of Stirling, the better of Dunfermline, and you get revenge against Raith Rovers in the quarters, a 4-1 win. And it was Hearts semi-final. Did you sense maybe a bit something extra with the manager because of his old team? Was there more determination, did you think, because it was Hearts?
I think in a way he actually did, but he just tell us, listen, and I'll be quite honest with you, it wasn't much a team talk about gear. He says, I didn't need to gear you, you scream what it is, and just get fucking in a bit. As simple as that. And that's what we did.
Who were the driving forces in the squad as players?
Me. Jimmy Sanderson, Kenny Black, only. Oh, good going, good going. We were all really good. I'm year one. I'm number one.
Well, you get to the final, and it was a bit cruel giving you Rangers at the last cup finals, and they didn't let up giving you Celtic in this one. No. And it was a Celtic team with players like McStay and Collins, Van Hoy. It was closer than the Rangers one, but
that was honestly a time that we actually, and they get me wrong, when we played with the Rangers, we actually thought, listen, let's do well. But this was a game that we honestly we could win, and we did think that, and we won the far away with a few chances. They scored the goal, and that's what counts, I'm afraid.
Did this one hurt more than the Rangers one?
Aye. It did.
But did you sense at that point maybe you were getting into the autumn of your career and you wouldn't have as many chances of getting into
the thing? You've maybe got to take them as and you're getting older, and it's like everybody else. The older you get, and then that's it, done. And but I'll always say that Airdrie at that particular time, I didn't expect to get what I got. So I'm quite happy about what I'd done during my career. And I'll tell you, there was one time that I got a framed no picture letter from the kid. When I kissed another, she wanted to take his out. I said, right. I didn't know.
Talk us through that then. How did you end up having a brush with royalty?
She wanted a kiss from me. So I gave her. She says, that's it, me. Well, what happened was Jim Sanderson come along and went, mind you, not today, no. So anyway, and she didn't refuse. And then everybody else did, so that was it. And then the next again day, back pages, you think it would be how Hoydonk scored the goals. The wife will tell you. It was all about me kissing the Duchess again. And then I got a letter dinner offer. Duchess again, thanks for all the hanging your den, and your kiss was good. And it's all got a friend.
That's fantastic. But it's not all violins when it comes to cup finals for you, though, because Airdrie did win a cup when you were playing.
When the B&Q, the B&Q at that time, that was great. Again, and I think any cup, whether it's a Diddy Cup or a Hingit, it's still a cup. So I think on that, it was great.
Well, it was Berwick Rangers, the dispatch in the first round, then Raith Rovers, Ayr United, and the semi-final was Clyde Bank, a team that are kind of always linked with Airdrie going forward now. You won 3-0, and that was you into the final for the first time since it was inaugurated in 1990, and it was Dundee that you're playing against. Now, remember, Dundee are former European Cup semi-finalists.
I think Dundee, the game was at St. Johnston's Park,
yep.
Wasn't it?
McDermott Park, yeah.
We won 3-2 that game or something, was it? 3-2?
Yep. Now, this is a Dundee side that had Morten Wieghorst in it. It had Neil McCann, Dusan Virto. It was a good Dundee side. It was 3-2 Boyle, Harvey and Smith for Airdrie. You finally won a trophy after the Scottish Cup heartache twice. Was there a sense of relief? Was there a sense of joy?
I think it was a bit of both, to be honest with you. Again, folks going to say it was only the B&Q Cup, but as I say, the cups are, and we did win I guess against Hamilton and that. We beat Hamilton in the, I can't remember the name of the cup. There was four teams in it: Hamilton, Airdrie, Motherwell. There was another team in it. I can't remember that cup, but we won that a couple of times. But I think that was the B&Q is probably it's the only thing I won, so it had to be up there.
I think the fans definitely appreciate it. You saw how much the Airdrie fans.
They're just absolutely nuts. Again, absolutely nuts. I can remember. I'll go to the one that it's quite funny, the Hamilton game, and this baggy, who's now passed away, obviously, but he used to wait in the buses coming in, Slaggy, Gieber, behind the goals, and he used to, but it was quite funny.
You got to the League Cup semi-finals in 1988 again, this time you lost to Rangers, and then that was really kind of your career come to an end at that point. What kind of sparked you leaving Airdrie?
I think they were going to change it all. Like I said, they were going to go part-time. They didn't care what was happening, so I think Doddy left. He just left. And Gary McKay came over just for... And well, obviously, he left after it, and they went part-time. I don't know if it was cash or whatever the whole thing was. So I just listen, I've done my bit. I didn't know what I was going to do. I just said to my wife, I said, well, just go on holiday, then I'll take it for there. So... Eventually, a couple of clubs are interested. I went, well, I've done all my stuff, then I'll go to Preston. Went to Preston for a year, we've done all right. Craig Levine phoned me to go to Kirkenbeath, and we had a wee bit of chat and that. And I was there for a well, Alan Lawrence was there, Jimmy Boyle was there. I went there and we went up, so that was great.
What was Craig Levine like to work for?
Craig Levine was great. I mean, if we weren't on the football park and we were doing some corner kicks and that, he would just say to me, you deal with that. If we lose a goal off a corner, it's your fault. I said, all right, no bother, thanks. But, and saying that, I left after that. And then I went back when Miksu Patalainen went there. He asked me to come as coach goalkeeper. I went, I need bother. So, been around a wee bit, and then Jimmy Anderson was going to be manager at Bo'ness, and he asked me to come here, assistant there, so I went there. It's all right, it's fine.
Well, Airdrie went bankrupt in 2002. They bought Clyde Bank before kind of reforming. Was it difficult for you as a former player with all the kind of memories that you had?
I was really surprised that had to happen. But I knew when I'd left that there was something just not right. I said that to the wife, I said, there's something just no right. And then obviously that, coming out with that, because I left in 2000, I left. And that was only 2 years after it. And I was really, really saying to myself, oh, something just no right. I mean, I didn't get that they're all saying that, is there anybody stealing some cash and all this? But
there always seems to be a kind of sense of them and us when it comes to players and directors. Was that your feeling as during your career? Were they kind of two separate entities, or did you ever have directors you felt were?
I had a good rapport with the directors. I mean, I didn't get what they said after it, but they'd always speak to me and how are you getting on. No, I got great with them. But there were some that I did hear, oh, he's this and he's that, again, and you wouldn't know what to say too much on to that.
Well, you then decided to turn your attention to Hollywood superstardom and A Shot to Glory alongside Robert Duvall. So tell us, how did that come about? How did you first get it?
And it was great, because I got a phone call, John McVeigh. He says, John, Phil, are you interested? I says, what? A film? I says, oh, you're the fucking dick. No, honestly. I says, no, you're kidding me on. He went, no. I says, what is it like? He says, Robert Duvall. And I can't hear who it was. So I'm saying to myself, he's a dick. Yeah. I went, nah. No, honestly. He said, I'll give you a phone again. And so he did. And then he says, right, are you up for it? I went, I am up for it. So we actually went through to Glasgow to get measured for suits and whatever have you, and that. And then I went back home, and it was a couple of days later, John McVeigh phoned me again and said, John, he says, you want to change your name to Brian Burns? I went, Brian Burns? Really? So anyway, I says, is it Mayor Cash? Aye. I said, right, that day. So I went actually through, and then it was no problem at all. And obviously, Ali was there, and then we got a few other yins in. Andy Smith and that all played, and so it was quite a funny bit. We're away for two or three days and that. We went up to through Dumbarton. That was the first thing we went through, and Duvall would always say to me, I was passing, he says, come here. Well, he says, sit down there and make me laugh. I said, it's you who's got the cash, well, fucking me. But he was good with me anyway. So on to that is players in from Airdrie, obviously, to make up the team. But I wasn't playing the cup final. I was injured. Well, I was supposed to be injured. I was behind the goals, makeup on and all that shit, telling the player what to do, who was in goals. So that was it. But I thought he was kidding on, but he wasn't kidding on.
What was a day like filming? Because there's kind of famously when filming, there's a lot of kind of dead time, waiting around for stuff to get done.
You had to sit about. Then get on. There was plenty of stuff there to eat and drink and that. I think at first everybody was, when we went to Dumbarton, and we were all standing in a line, and we were all just looking at each other and pushing each other and doing all the shit and that, because we thought it was just funny, but Robert Duvall come here and I'll tell you what I'm doing. It's quite funny. But on to that is, I didn't think it was that great, I'll be quite honest with you. The funny is what I got out of it.
Did you do anything special for when there was a premiere of it?
We actually went, there was a red carpet in Glasgow, wasn't it? We went near there. And obviously they were all the folk were there. Funny when I spat on Alan McCoy's car.
Why did you spit on his car?
Well, it was a training session. It was away about 1 mile or something, 2 mile away. And the training was, oh, you're fucking useless. You use a lot of them. So I was all right, nae bother. Right, this is what's happening. He's all running back. This was about two miles. So we runs back, and who's standing there with his car? Alan McCoy's. So we're all standing, and he says, what are you doing? I said, oh, the car, mate. Oh, you had the car, but it was your fault. So I just went,
and it was part of the film,
wasn't it? So it was part of the film, and I spat on it, and that was funny, honestly. I just spat on his car, and we say, what are you doing, big man?
Have you, you'll obviously, if you go into a pub in Airdrie, you'll have tons of Airdrie fans coming up recognising you, talking to you. Have you ever had anybody recognise you from the film?
No.
No?
No. No. There's a few things that's through my football career, obviously, sitting in a pub in Spain or something, you, John Martin, no. And she says, oh, he is. And there's a couple where I work as well, you're John Martin, no, are you? No, no. So you get that, but there's no, oh, I've seen you in that film, there's no, like that. No, I'm like that at all. So,
how many have you watched it?
Two or three.
Two or three times.
It was me, it'd be on every night.
Would you? It'd be on every night.
Well, you mentioned you're a friendly against Wimbledon earlier on, and Wimbledon were kind of known as the crazy gang, and Airdrie were kind of lumped into that same sort of kind of... Would that be true? Was it quite... was it a fun time when you were at...
Take it wrong. We were called the Wimbledon. Obviously, with Blackie and all them in it. I don't think we were actually like Wimbledon. We did play a bit of football. You don't get any cups and that, doing that all the time. But I don't think Wimbledon, wasn't their full team. I think it was a kind of half and half. Mm. I think it ended up about 2-0 to Wimbledon or something like that. That was about it.
Okay. Well, let's jump into a fast fire round.
Go ahead.
Right. Who's the best opponent you ever played against? The best player?
Alan McGuist.
Okay. Best teammate you ever had?
Teammate Jimmy Sanderson.
Right. Just realised I've got the wrong question. Best goal you ever scored? Best save you've ever made? There we go.
I've been asked that before, and it was actually against the Rangers at Broomfield. And I think it was Richard Gough who did the header, and I was going one way and I went another. Put it over the bar, so that was probably that. I mean, there's loads of that, but I mean, I've scored the goal as well.
All right, tell us about the goal.
Well, it was against St. Johnston. A minute gone in the clock, lumped the ball, goalkeeper come out, he's missed it at the back of the window and beat them 2-0 in that game.
Was this in the days before everything was filmed?
Aye, because I think it was a Hibs goalkeeper that was in for St. Johnston, McDonald. He was there at the time, but they're all trying to give me the goal that I scored against Falkirk. I don't know if you've seen that one. I've put the ball, Alan, the boys went for it, he's missed it, Alan Lawrence has went for it, and Gordon Marshall, he's coming for it, he's missed it. I can't remember the boy's name, he's trying to take a touch. His touch is bad, it's in the back of the net, but I didn't get that.
What was the best stadium you've ever played at?
Best stadium? Has to be Hamden. Has to be.
What was the best prank you've ever witnessed in the game?
Wasn't such a prank is what, but I won't tell you this one. It was in the winter time. It was snowing. We were training at Broomfield. It was Jimmy Bowen era. So it's you go right, you go left, you go right, you go left, up, down and out. So if you're last there, you either sing a song or, and this time because it was freezing, you run round the park in the nude, right? So it ended up your young goalkeeper was doing it while he went to sing. So she have seen this off of the shorts down there while he's hanging out, everything like that, and away round the park. He was absolutely freezing. Honestly, it was hell.
Well, you've touched on Fergie for this one, so we might have a different one. Best insult you've heard on the pitch?
Best?
Insult.
There's a lot. But you always hear that rubbish. That's fair. That didn't bother me. Because I've had it all my career. I mean, you always hear it. I mean, I don't care what they do say. You know what I mean? And that's what pal's supposed to be.
Well, there's definitely an answer for this one. What was the best crowd chant?
For me?
Just the best crowd chant you've heard, but we all know what the answer is.
Johnny, show us your ass.
I thought it was swinging the bar.
There's two, that's one. There's that one, and there's that one, and there's Johnny swinging the bar. Or Johnny, show us your ass.
Where's that
Dundee, sorry. There you go. But the point to that is, Airdrie fans waited till the fans were up in the 18-yard box and they're shouting, Johnny, show us your ass.
Okay. Well, that brings us to the end of another episode. My thanks to John Martin for his various admissions of exposure in Scottish football, with which he would be arrested and placed in a register if he played in the modern day. Join us next week for another forensic journey into the annals of Scottish football. Our website's at csi.com, where you can find all our socials. Until next week, thank you very much, John.
Good morning, are you?
Goodbye. Thank you.
Thank you.